Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I mean, that's been the rap on Glover for years.
I didn't know. Yo, who follows Glover but you?
Who follows Glover but you? Yo, that should be like some Hallmark movie.
Yeah, Brad is following Glover.
Fuck you, Tuesdays with Maury. We're going to do Following Glover.
That's also just like some sort of awesome cop. Like Glover, he hasn't done any cop movies since Lethal Weapon, but if it was, you know, Williams Glover in... Fucking, you know.
Following Glover?
Yeah. So maybe maybe he's somehow like wronged the dwarf community and you're like a little person FBI agent.
Listen.
There you go. How many buddy cops have you guys written? Like,
have you guys come started? Up with so many.
There's Brad and Danny Glover. Yeah. There's Brad and Danny Bonaducci. Right.
Pretty much
there's
all the Dannys.
All the dads. There's Brad and Danny. Danny
Tanner.
Danny Tanner. Danny the Indian guy from Hey Dude.
Yeah.
That's a throwback, though. That's a deep throwback.
Good pull
hey,
there,
dude.
Adam Ray.
My boy Dave Lasher was on that show. Holy
You're
shit.
You're boys with that guy?
Yeah.
You know Dave Lasher?
Dave Lasher, very well.
Yeah.
That's one of my boys.
Oh, shit.
God. Swear to God.
So you
didn't even know he was on that show.
He was banging the redhead on that show. Or not the redhead, the long brown brunette.
Her name was
you know
Brad.
If you'd see it. If I pulled up a Google image, her name was what?
Her name on the show is Brad. Her character is Brad, which, like, as much as I love the show, hey, dude, my name's Brad.
Yeah.
So then, like, it was like, oh, Brad's the hot chick name. Ah,
and
that,
Holy shit.
That just shows you how confident I was with my dwarfism. They didn't even make fun of the dwarfism. They passed and were like, well, fuck, we can't get him on that. Let's go for the hey dude.
Hilarious.
Yo, I had no idea. When I met Lasher, I didn't know he was an actor. He was friend of a friend. We went skiing at like Big Bear. And we're skiing, I swear to God. And girls are like yelling from the ski, from the chairlift.
Yelling.
Hey, dude. This is like 15 years ago.
Oh, so you didn't even know that the show existed. You were
never
just like.
To this day, I've never seen
like
hey
these
dude.
Chicks are so casual with their labels for you, man. Like, they feel so comfortable you're a bro.
And I'm thinking, you ain't that fucking good looking that someone's going to scream at you. Like,
from the chairlift.
From the chairlift.
Hey, dude.
You got to be pretty famous to get chairlift action.
Yo, apparently, Hey Dude
sure.
was big.
It was huge, man. It was one of the Nickelodeon spotlight shows, man. It was like...
Yeah, it was like that and...
Salute Your Shorts.
Right. And then remember Wild and Crazy Kids?
Oh, come on.
That had a damn
Obviously.
Good three.
What, Wild
did
and
you grow
Crazy
up here
Kids?
No, I grew up in Seattle.
Yeah, he's a Seattle guy.
What the hell
guy.
Did you know about Hey Dude? Were you here?
I had a television.
Yeah.
I had a television and an imagination.
What was I watching?
I had an imagination and fucking parents that didn't patrol the programming.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like it was controversial. It was a bunch of guys hanging out at the Dude Ranch, and it was like, one of the horses is lost, and that's a fucking episode.
That's an episode, yeah.
Yeah, they got to go out and find him, and Ted's always a dick.
That is so funny, man. I did not – I've never seen
What hey shows as like – I mean, I'm always curious for people like comics, just like what you're – like who you
Bro.
Saw –
I watched adult shit. I mean, I was even as a child, I was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley.
Dude, that's amazing.
Wow.
I was watching. I wanted to be Norman Lear.
Oh, for man.
That was my dream. Is like as a child, I'm like, I'm gonna be able to write this stuff. I would just like I liked those shows for some reason. I was never
at what age? Like how young?
Wait,
probably
wait,
like
I think
10, 11 years old. Like
I think I got something.
Like
what is this?
Theme song to Hey Dude.
Jesus, holy Brad's still stuck on that, man. I thought we were transitioning, but
that's probably Lasher singing. To make your home out on the range. I'm not kidding. He sings. Is that him?
Grab your horse and come along. Oh, fucking. Where? You can't hit your butt if you can't hold yeah. on.
And here we go.
Singing. Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, what?
David Lasher is Ted.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Long little doggy.
Till the break of day.
Better watch out for those man-eating jackrabbits.
All right, that's enough of that. Unless we're getting paid to play the song.
Hey, dude.
Jesus.
Holy shit, man.
Bam! And David Lasher was Ted. That show also starred the future Mrs. Ben Stiller.
Christine Taylor.
Christine Taylor was
in that. He dated her for a minute from that show.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he went out with her for that.
Good for him. Dude, that's...
David Lasher. Yeah.
Sorry.
She was like loving him. I remember him telling me
about
that.
Dude, you get on a TV show and it's just, it happens.
That's why I hope that I'm on a TV show with Cloris Leachman.
Yo, so you will be. Just
so, so I can hit that
Yo,
shit.
When you did...
Clipping Leachman.
Clipping Leachman. Fuck these reality shows. Keeping Up with the Kardashians and
Clipping Leachman.
Princesses of Beverly Hills.
Dude,
no, we need Clipping Leachman.
Taking out Cloris Leachman to you know, Applebee's and Olive Gardens.
Oh, Applebee's and Olive Garden. Fuck that. I'm taking her to the dwarf convention, son. Yo. I'm going to walk around with Leachman and be like, yeah, you guys are all banging other sweet dwarf tail. I got Leachman on my arm. Yo. Shove it.
Clipping Leachman, sponsored by Olive Garden. You don't even have to go there. They'll just sponsor it.
I'll get free breadsticks for life.
Never ending pasta everywhere. Okay, so Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley.
Love Boat.
Jesus. Oh my
God. Now that I'm thinking about it, I played a lot of sports as a kid. I was traveling around playing hockey and baseball.
You wanted to do that for a while, yeah? Like that.
Slow-footed brain.
I think we all did.
Never could have happened.
Right? Like, we all as kids were all like, yeah, when I grew up, I'm going to be a fucking hockey player.
Well, as a kid, you dream about it. And then you get to an age where you're like, how dope the kids in high school that, like, how dope, like, the kids who are really dope are, and you're like, well, I'm pretty good, but, like...
Yeah. When I got to 10th grade, I knew there was no chance at any sport.
Dude, me too.
Yeah. I was a little all-star in third grade, fourth grade,
sure. But guess what?
Grade.
That doesn't mean anything.
And then I traveled across 8 Mile into Detroit, and
I saw
what real ball players were, how fast real kids were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wait, so what part of Detroit?
And by real kids, you mean black kids.
Yeah, I mean, in the black community, I knew immediately.
Wait, so you grew up in a kind of a white suburban?
I grew up in a mixed neighborhood, like Southfield, Michigan. Like, Detroit, 8 Mile is what separates Detroit from the burbs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I was on like 9, 10 Mile growing up as a kid, and then we had like integration was happening as a kid.
So the competition, you were starting to get a little.
I felt competition. I knew it, but I didn't know how deep it went until I went over there and I was
Do
like,
do you remember some of the kids you played against that maybe have they like made
come on,
it?
Bro. I remember Jerome Greer fucking. I remember,
I was hoping you were going to say Jerome Kersey, but like, you're not that
old.
Well,
no, but I remember like the older kids. Like, I remember watching, like Jerome Bettis was in Detroit. And Derek Coleman was in Detroit basketball.
Dude.
And I remember when I went to high school, they did, like, an exhibition of, like, McDonald's All-Americans.
Yeah.
You know, that's legend.
That's the game.
That year they had it in Detroit. They came to my high school for the exhibition.
So I'm watching
all the greatest athletes on the planet. At the time, it was like Ramil Robinson, Terry Mills, Glenn Rice.
Oh, my God.
Rex Chapman. Like,
oh
old school dudes were like coming in and just bawling out of control.
Dude, that's unreal.
Yeah.
I just went to Detroit for the first time last weekend to Comedy Castle.
That was your first time?
Yeah. Never been before. Royal Oak?
Yeah.
Mark Ridley? You probably, yeah.
Great club. I'll never be allowed back.
No,
wait, what?
Why? I'm banned.
I got to hear this story.
I feel like you should fucking give
I'll
a little.
I'll tell you, bro. I really don't care. I'll tell the story.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of coming up in comedy, came out to L.A., started comedy, but my home was always Detroit. So I would start doing, like, guest spots there when I'd go home. And, you know, then I started to do, you know, I'd middle there.
Yeah, try to start solidify, like, hey, I'm going to be, when I come home, let this be the place I come do shows at.
Exactly. Sure. And even when I middled, I would bring friends and family and pack
the
house.
They love that.
Oh, yeah. And then,
they love it.
Well, the fucking headliner loves it because then he gets the damn bonus by the end of the week.
He gets the money.
And you're doing great.
I'm middling. And I'm getting, like, no joke, like some bull, like $350.
For a weekend.
Like a weekend.
Yeah.
Okay,
and by the way, listeners.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you could fly out on your own dime to a club. And if you're the middle guy, you're getting $300, maybe $400 for the week. But, like, you're like, that's great. But, but then you just paid for your travel and all
probably
that
probably your
shit.
Food at the club too
packed his house. And I'm the type of dude who like I'll start like I'm so weird I'll count the people in the room and then count the money and then add liquor and food and say to myself, wow, this guy made $80,000 this weekend, congratulations. I got $300.
Yeah,
so then I start
say that
stewing. I get mad.
So, as you do.
So my big headlining for Mark Ridley's was coming up, and I tell everyone I'm ready, I'm excited, family, friends.
Had you done Carson Daly or Ferguson at this point?
I think I did both, at this point. And so I'm excited.
People
I'm
are getting
home,
fired up.
Coming home. Yeah.
Packed the place for the weekend.
Jerome Greer showing up, man.
Jerome Greer came straight up, afro, still running and touching his head to the ground because he's so fast and low.
Yeah.
He comes to the everyone's at the show, packed.
Yeah.
So the day, it comes Sunday, you know, I'm getting paid.
Right.
And he writes me a check. No joke. He writes me a check. And it's for, I had a door deal. So okay. It was like 70% of the door, whatever it was.
Yeah, door deal means you get part of the tickets. Every ticket sold, you get a portion of that.
So I get my check, and my brother's like acting as my manager. You know, like he's handling all the business there.
Sure.
And he gives me my check, and the next day he calls me. Ridley calls me. I hate to put him on blast, but he calls and he goes, "I overpaid you by $800." That's what he says to me. "I overpaid you." I said, "Sorry, bro."
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I've been working for slave wages here for fucking 5 years.
Sure.
You're saying you overpaid me $800. I say we just call it even.
Right.
And I've never heard of anybody saying that they wrote a check for $800. And he goes, "Yo, my mind wasn't right. I was thinking about other things." Da, da, da. I said, I hung up. I'll call you back. I talked to my brother. And I'm just like, "Look, man, I got to be honest. We get treated like shit."
Right.
Comedians, out of everybody, I think... people take advantage of us over the place more than anybody.
Absolutely.
We do the best shit. We make people laugh and we get fucking buried. And I called him back. I said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm not giving you the money back." Mm-hmm. And he said, "You just jeopardized your relationship with me." And I said, "If you're going to battle me over $800, we don't have a relationship." And that was it. And I never went back. And I started doing shows at like the Royal Oak Music Theater. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right around the corner. And I was like, "Yo."
And which probably paid you more anyway.
Way more.
Yeah.
Way more.
Because if that's a theater, that means you're renting it. That means you are getting the door.
Bro, I figured out the game at home. I rented it. I had the door. I was getting paid cash. I was coming out with $6,000.
There should be a stand-up comedy video game. Like the same way they have Call of Duty and NBA Live.
We could kidnap them. And we could hold them for ransom.
Right. Just like get the fucking club owners in a car, beat them senseless.
You're telling me there's not a fucking comic that would love to have some sort of scenario where you have a Mike Tyson punch out scene with Tommy from the Comedy Store?
Yo, let me tell you something. I thought about egging him up until yesterday when I actually did egg him. I'm not afraid to egg.
Oh, that's
good. Did you egg back in the day? You for sure were a kid who fucked with neighbors.
I egged 4 months ago. I swear to God.
Please let that be the name of your next album.
I ate four months. Like, I grew up egging because, you know, Detroit has Devil's Night. So that's like the night before Halloween.
Oh, shit. So you
crazy they egg.
Yeah, you get like you get like 2 days of this.
It's where you just throw deviled eggs at everybody?
Devil. Right. Straight up eggs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like a known thing.
Dude, eggs cause some damage, man. My house got egged, and I did egging as a kid. I moved into this neighborhood my buddies who were in seventh grade lived, and then the three of this clique of hot eighth grade girls lived. So every weekend they would go over to a couple of their houses, and then I had a group of five dudes that would come over to my place and his place because live across the street, and we would all hang out and do. It was like the greatest thing ever because we're seventh graders. It's middle school is just seventh and eighth. We're hanging out with the hot girls. Yeah. They would hang out with us.
That's your life right there.
Oh, it was the best. It was like eight and six, like eight girls, six, and a couple of people were hooking up and whatever. And then we would leave, and they would all, and we'd go to bed and whatever. And then they would all fuck up my house. They would teepee it, my house.
Oh,
they would teepee it, egg it, and shit. I had like we had a this yard that I would rake all these fucking leaves, and I'd put bags of them like lined up against the side of the house. They would empty all the fucking leaves all over the yard.
What was up with that?
Dude, why did they do it to you?
The dudes were jealous because you probably fingered one of the eighth
graders. Was the girls who did it.
Oh, the girls. Where'd
you
grow
up? Oh, my God.
Dude, Lake
8 Mile,
Park,
apparently.
Where?
Yeah. 8 Mile adjacent, Lake Forest Park, Washington.
Oh, shit. Everyone
sounds
knows
nice.
That.
It's great. Yeah, because lakes, forests, and parks, you know, places where there's usually not a lot of trouble.
Except for when
you
get,
guys are
like,
the rebels. You're the rebels of your neighborhood.
Dude, it was the worst. Re-raking up leaves is like, you want to get me like just angry, go from 0 to 60 and have a fire burning inside of me?
Yeah.
Make me fucking re-rake leaves in the cold. Because my mom would wake up at 7 a.m. and be like, "Hey, you got teepeed. That's hilarious to me, but go outside and fucking clean it up."
Sometimes
she's got eggs. She was like, "This shit's getting fucking crazy."
Sure.
Then she starts being like, "Do they hate Jews?" She starts pulling shit out of nowhere like, those were anti-Semitic yokes. And so then... So then finally
what, like it comes from chickens that are doing the Heil Hitler with their wing?
Hilarious. They weren't kosher chickens. And so...
I didn't even know you were Jewish.
Yeah. Well, Ray's not a Jewish last name.
No.
It's my dad's name. He's not Jewish. But so then finally, I called the girls out at school. I was like, a couple of them, like the ringleaders, the leaders of the group. I was like, "Listen, you fucking sluts."
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's got to stop. And I just was like, and they saw the fury in my face, and then they stopped.
Yeah, Jew
that.
Bear. The first Jew bear.
I mean,
they saw that shit.
Yeah, not to hack off a brilliant Bill Burr bit, but I think the girls do that because they know that there's no consequences. That they know, like, you know, they're not.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Yeah, because like
they're hot eighth graders,
right?
And nobody touches hot eighth graders.
Yeah.
Except for R. Kelly. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Well done.
I can't believe you didn't go back at them at all. You just let it slide.
Oh, no, we did.
It was the teasing.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should finish the story. So then one of the girls who was one of the main culprits lived like nobody had a car.
A main culprit.
So she lived
in eighth grade.
I know, right?
A main culprit.
Dude, it was
main
nasty, culprit, like,
man.
It's the usual suspects. They're all walking in with jellies and Hello Kitty.
Do you know how long I had to hold the fucking hose at the second like tier of our fucking tiny little house to spray egg off?
Yeah.
That had dried?
Yeah,
and then the toilet paper gets wet in the rain and shit because it rains the next morning.
Bro, I know all about the effects of it. I know who's got to clean it, how to clean
right.
it, how long
Dude,
it takes.
So we, my local neighborhood Albertsons that I ended up working at all through high school, I'd fucking just befriended a couple of the managers there, even in fucking middle school, because my mom and I would go there all the time. And I went down there one late night, and we got like we had a parent drive us down there. And one of our buddy's dads, who was like, "Yeah, go fuck these bitches up."
Hell yeah!
And we got
the
like,
cool dad,
dude.
I would always love him in the neighborhood.
He let us borrow money. We bought, I think, like maybe 190 rolls or so. Like,
wow.
Way too many.
Walmart,
Albertsons, at the grocery store.
Oh, okay,
we just bought. We cleaned out the fucking aisle 7.
Yeah.
Only thing left was salsa after.
Right.
That.
Hurricane box.
Hurricane
straight
up. And then we walked, but this chick lived like no joke, a 10-minute drive, but like at. I don't know, an hour and 20-minute walk. So we walked at 3 in the morning. We walked through this fucking long, just over hills and whatever. We get there. We dropped, you know, all 196 rolls.
Nice.
And,
I love that.
Dude, she just, like, she called everybody the next day crying and screaming because, like, my dad made me clean it all up. And right. You guys are such assholes. And we just laughed and saw the next day. And then, you know.
And then
that probably put an end to the egg,
yeah,
whole fiasco
for, sure,
for a while.
Yeah.
Sure,
I mean, it was talked about in the neighborhood.
Yeah, but, you had to strike back.
You have to, yeah.
You had to do that. But like, I mean, you went to Albertsons whenever we went toilet papering. We went to the community college, went to the bathrooms, and got those like industrial size rolls.
Hell yeah, I know those rolls.
And just fucking stole them. And then, like, what you do is you stand on one side of the yard and you just roll that sumbitch all the way across.
Oh, that's
just
a whole new. You were lucky.
Oh
yeah, that's a whole new thing.
Yeah,
because that shit. You know those the light rolls are tough. They're tough.
Yeah,
you throw them up.
No,
they
break.
Get blown over.
They also break so easy. You got to have.
Sure.
I bet you were fucking one of the money guys who, because there was always one guy in the group who tossed them way up in the high trees. Because if you get up in the high tree. You are fucked.
Yeah.
There's no step ladder that can get you up there unless you're friends with the fucking Chippendale Rescue Rangers to fucking climb the ladder.
And that roll, and that is breaking because you can never pull it down soft enough. You're like, all right, I got it. Snap.
You got it.
Fuck!
Yeah.
You gotta have good, tender hands. You gotta be a good thrower and a catcher.
So what was your role then in all this?
I was the arm.
Okay.
I threw 160 feet. I'll never forget in third grade. I set the record in my elementary school. I had the best arm.
What, baseball?
For baseball.
Nice.
I threw 160 as a child. And then I was just,
What if you said, I threw a soccer ball 160? Like,
now, I've had throwing contests at the Comedy Store, bro.
That's great, dude. I love it.
I'll never grow up.
I didn't know you were such a jock. I mean, you give off a little of the vibe, yeah.
I was a full jock growing up. That's what I mean, that was my favorite way to spend time. Days, I was out all day long playing shit.
You played hockey?
Yeah, I still play, yeah.
That's dope.
Wait, where do you play hockey?
At the El Segundo.
Oh, you played El Segundo?
Yeah.
Because I play up in Burbank at Pickwick.
Oh, do you play? I used to play at Pickwick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a comic league, isn't it? Like
Burr, Ian Bagg, Steve Byrne stops by every now and then.
Yo, Ian Bagg was on my team before I knew him, before I even knew he was a comedian.
Oh,
he
my God.
He was on my team.
Oh, shit. That guy is so good at hockey.
As my defensive partner.
Yeah.
Guy never said a word in the locker room about being a comedian. I had no idea who he was. I'd never seen him at the Comedy Store. Never saw him at the Laugh Factory.
Right.
Didn't follow his comedy anywhere.
Right.
I'm just like, yo, this is just a big Canadian who's a damn good defenseman.
Well, like, the thing is whenever Ian Bagg played in the Comedian League, like, you could tell he's not trying. Because he knows, like, guys, if I try, it's over.
Right. He's
like,
got a fierce slap shot.
And he
knows how to play the game.
And he's big, so you never want to even fake hit him because then he'll come back with an elbow.
Yeah. I've played with a couple of those guys. I never played with Burr. I skated with Byrne one time.
Okay.
Steve Byrne. He's
Byrne's good.
He's solid.
He's solid. Here's the thing about when I first met Bill Burr playing hockey with him, and like I thought the whole rage thing was an act.
No,
it's not an act.
No,
that dude is angry.
Yeah, 24/7.
And like, guys were talking in the locker room. This one comic's like talking about his girlfriend, and all of a sudden from the corner, you just hear Brick go, "Hey, fuck that cunt!" And like he just like and like his that guy's problems, yeah. who he knows nothing about, yeah. suddenly became his problems. He's like, no, here's what you do: you go in there, you fucking break a heart, and then you like, and you fucking fuck 22 chicks, get the Polaroids, you sprinkle them on her front doorstep like a champ.
Yeah, yeah. Burr, I go. Yeah, I believe Burr is for real.
He's that 20, passionate. Yeah,
now, why didn't you get so? All right, so you figured out 10th grade basketball and baseball wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah. My brother played Division I football. My little shit. Brother. Yeah, he actually walked on Arizona's football.
Is your brother Vince Young? Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, he is.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Mixed
family.
I mean, that'd be the best.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love talk that. About a sitcom.
Yeah. And he has to move in with me because he's broke now. That would be
really?
The sitcom.
Young and Young.
Yeah, Young and Young.
There you go.
No, but my brother had, like, even as when he grew up, I even knew he was, like, at another level. Like, yeah. He was faster, stronger.
What about that do you pick up on, like, 9 and 10? Like, I guess you just tell that the kid's faster than everybody, right? And, like,
you know, speed's something you're born with.
Yeah. Right.
I wasn't. You know what I mean? There's that next level of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have that.
Then,
you know what I mean? I just
that,
had
like,
smooth, like, ability.
Right.
I could catch everything.
You were
everything.
A finesse player, yeah?
I was a finesse player at everything. You know what I mean? But I didn't have that next level
you were,
of strength.
Yeah. You were Luke Walton.
I was Luke Walton light. I mean, Luke. I was Luke light.
Luke
ripped
it up for a little bit.
Yo, Luke played. He got to the pros. I mean, that's... You think that's the next level? There's two other levels under that that are next level.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, people see athletes that are on the bench and they're like, oh, this dude's a bum. What they don't know is in, like, high school,
he was Mr. Basketball.
That dude was wrecking everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, that guy's going pro. No one's better than him.
Yeah.
And then you get to that the absolute peak level, and now there's guys that are making him look stupid.
Yeah. That just goes to show you the separation between college and pros. I mean, same thing for high school and college. Like,
absolutely.
When I played high school ball, I, you know, thought it was pretty good and, like, have some really good games. But then you see some of those kids who end up going to play college and you're like, oh, yeah, like, you have to be that good. You have to be, like, dropping maybe 50 every 3 or 4 games.
Well, because you have that argument. It's always made, like, every year on SportsCenter where it's like, if Alabama played the Jacksonville Jaguars, who would win? You're like, shut up.
Right. Shut up. They
don't
get buried.
Yeah. It's not even going to be.
When you see kids in high school wearing, like, your jersey, like, that's how you know,
right.
like, your next level shit. Are there, like, people are making, like, fake cereals for you already?
Yeah. I don't know. There's a couple young floor hockey jerseys out there.
Floor hockey jerseys.
Floor hockey, bro. We had a serious league as children.
Dude, that was the best. Wait, so then, but you said you played in this, like, NBA fantasy league with, like, celebrities.
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
For probably 13 years. I mean,
no
I moved out here, like, 15 and a half years ago to LA to do comedy. And I met a couple buddies randomly, literally, at the Comedy Store. That was the first place I ever went to.
What brought you out here, first of all?
I went to college in Arizona. Yeah. I was already in the West Coast. I had, after college,
You were a Wildcat or
I was a Wildcat.
Wildcat, all right.
Actually, after college, I moved with a girl back to Chicago, you know, so that just was a disaster for 2 years.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, good job, stepping.
Yes. Dummy. Still dreaming about comedy, but too afraid to come here. Went back to Detroit.
Yeah.
Had like a cabinet company, like literally, like family and scrap metal. Had a criminal friend who was a bill who could build anything.
Nice.
We put up a couple $1,000 each and we started like building shit, making money, like great money.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the whole time I'm dreaming about comedy, I come out here. I'm here for like a year and a buddy that was hanging at the Comedy Store who we just became buddies.
Lasher.
Who grew up in L.A.
Lasher.
Not even
hey,
Lasher.
Dude. All right.
Pre-Lasher. he used to run, my boy used to run the newsstand. Like you
the
know,
one on
you,
Sunset.
Yeah, you're like the king of LA if you run the newsstand.
Oh, yeah, because you talk
he
to everybody.
It. You talk to people. Yeah. You run shit. You're selling. You know what I mean? You don't just sell papers.
You don't just sell papers.
No. That's he'll get you slow. In a club, get you a pound of weed. He'll get you whatever you want.
Get you a pony if you want one.
Yeah, sure.
I swear to God, he's like, young, we need a fifth at the Beverly Hills YMCA. You want to come down? And I go down to play ball, and the team is fucking Kevin Connolly, Leo, Toby, Nick Cassavetes is on the team, boy. I walk in, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Gilbert Grape's on my team? What's happening here?
Yeah, yeah, let's just specify for listeners. Leo isn't Leo short for the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, not
right. Yeah, yeah. It's Leonardo DiCaprio, the Academy Award, soon to be winner.
Yeah, not the chef down the street. not Fat Leo.
Fucking Leo.
So, dude. So I went in, and incredible. I'm like kind of like shocked because I'm not that cool yet, where I'm like comfortable around this shit. And
I was gonna say,
we had a ball
game
and we played ball at the Beverly Hills Y, and I was just solid enough to keep on the team.
Done.
And then, you know, boom, I stayed that, and then that Beverly Hills YMCA league became transitioned into like the NBA Entertainment League.
Because more already, celebrities were like, yo, I play ball. You play ball?
Yeah.
How much do you love Space Jam? It's a great movie. Yeah. Let's talk about it next Sunday while we play.
Totally.
And it became good. Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or whoever's showing up.
Yeah. There were some old dudes that could still play.
I was just going to ask.
Oh, no
but
shit.
I can't remember everybody.
I'm guessing Sean Connery.
Yeah, not Connery.
Not Connery.
There was no Connery in the league. But there were some older dudes. I just don't even remember. But like then, you know, then Rappaport came in.
Yeah.
And then he was on the team and he played on the team. And and then we all just became buddies. Like that team just
dude,
became friends.
That's why sports is so dope, man.
Every relationship, I'm not even kidding. Any positive thing that's happened to me in Hollywood has come from basketball or hockey.
That's
like organically.
That's so dope, dude.
Yeah. So through
because
ball,
it's such a common bond that you like. I mean, like you said, you had to be. That was a tryout for you, by the way. I can't imagine the stress in that first game being like, I got to play. I can't be too selfish, but I got to show that I can score. I got to hustle a lot. That's always rewarded.
Yeah.
Well, I remember because I was a scrappy kid in Detroit. Like, I kind of fought a little bit as a kid growing up and was kind of scrappy.
Oh,
and
shit.
We got into a scrap at the game.
Oh, shit.
Because I remember, like, Kevin, because Connolly.
Yo, Leo, you having trouble with that jump shot? Having some growing pains, motherfucker?
Yeah, he's like, somebody was talking shit. And, yo, don't fuck with us. You know, we got to protect your fucking your boy, bro.
Don't fuck with Connolly. You know I know he's a redhead. But dude, like,
he's leaving for Japan to do another movie. Don't fucking put your hands on him. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, I'll be at the comedy store for $1.80 tomorrow.
Yeah, so
I got
like
nothing to lose.
Yeah, so like you're the enforcer.
Yeah,
you're the
literally
guy. Yeah, so like Leo's coming up to you like, hey, I got a yacht where I'm gonna bang some supermodels. Yeah. I gotta be in top form. Yeah. Could you go drop an elbow on Damon Wayans right now?
No, the truth is that motherfucker will fight too. He'll scrap. He's no punk. Like,
oh no, shit.
No punk.
I love it, dude.
You know what I mean? You learn that many fighting techniques and shit like gangs in New York. I wouldn't fuck with him. He's got long reach.
Oh, that's
he
right.
He knows
dude.
Technique.
Oh, you forget
a
about
knife,
that.
A bayonet.
because he's a method actor. So yeah, he probably learned some shit on gangs in New York.
Yo,
and the other fight movies he's done.
Yeah, he's
probably
scrappy.
The katana. He grew up loving Leo the Ninja Turtle. Was like, let me just fucking figure out his weapon of choice.
Probably, probably has a six shooter in his pocket from The Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone. Yeah. How's that pull?
Was he in
He'll
that?
Get shot.
Yeah, he was in The Quick and the Dead.
I never saw that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Oh Jesus!
Fuck! Now I gotta check my sources.
Yeah, now you gotta Google it.
Yeah.
All right. So that
was like my little intro into the NBA Entertainment League and like making friends, and you know that's where I met Rappaport, and you know it was just a wild fun time. But yeah, we scrapped a few times because Connolly's like a feisty Irish kid.
Kevin Connolly from Entourage.
Yeah, Kevin Connolly. Yeah. So he's on the team. He's playing point guard. Got a solid 3-point shot. Doesn't drive the lane that great, but who cares?
He's a tiny dude, man.
Yeah, he was a little fella, but scrappy as fuck.
That's
and
great.
We were playing against like
he was in it. Sorry, just had to say that it was a good pull. 1995.
That's
up?
An amazing pull, bro. That's like some Mr. Skin Brain. That's like you remember shit that's weird.
Nothing valuable.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
No, but then I remember we got into a scrap with a team because somebody pushed Connolly and he turned around, he fired the ball at the guy's balls and the guy buckled over and next thing you know, we're like in a full-blown thing and like,
shit.
Cassavetes is you don't fuck with him either.
Right.
He's like 6'7" and he played college ball. So
he's the
like,
big film director, right?
Big movie director. Everybody's credited out the fucking box on this team. There's 700 million worth of basketball players out here. More than an NBA cap. You know what I mean?
Dude, I was just going to
say. The cap on our team was higher than the fucking Lakers.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? You couldn't even, you know, I was making minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, great.
You were like the Kwame Brown of your team. You're like, I don't care.
I didn't care.
I still get to hang
with
Kobe.
Which had a role.
Yeah. Bro, I got all the perks.
Would you guys hang out after? I mean, is it like.
Yeah, we'd hang out after, go eat. You know, we go
because when you're
somewhere.
In the gym when you're playing ball, it's like I think all that other shit that everybody is goes away, right?
Yeah,
everyone's
you're
on the
court.
Even playing field.
Yeah,
right.
That's what sports does. That's the beauty of sports. It puts everybody on the same level
field.
Yo, in hockey, no joke, I'm in the corner. I get cross-checked in the spine.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking turn around. I'm ready to go. It's fucking David E. Kelly, the fucking showrunner for every show ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Married to Michelle Pfeiffer. So I'm going at it with him, and I don't know it's him because he has a mask on. But I see like long hair like flopping out of the thing.
Yeah, that's driving
me
crazy.
And we started to like kind of mix a little bit, and I'm like, I'm like, this dude's fucking strong.
Right.
And we didn't end up throwing blows, but then
there was
that moment. I got to the bench and my team was like, yo, you know, that's David E. Kelly. I'm like, fuck, man, I want to be him. You know what I mean?
No joke. I hip checked Vince Vaughn at a Pickwick ice rink. Granted, my hip check is going into like his knee.
Right. You took Vince out.
Oh, yeah. Because like the same thing. Puck goes in the corner.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going in there. I don't give a shit. Vaughn goes in. I come out. If Jack and me goes down, I'm like, this is the greatest moment of my life. I just fucking knocked out a wedding crasher. This is great.
Yo, does Vince have any... I can't see him being a hockey player.
Everyone thought he was going to be good because he's, you know, from Chicago, and that's like a big hockey town, and he's a big sports guy.
Yeah.
Not that good. I think it's because he never really played, and he's really tall. And if you're, like, really tall and you haven't skated before, it's kind of awkward.
If you're not Charo.
Yeah.
You know, the defenseman. The fucking beast.
Yeah, yeah. On a much smaller scale, I was in a comedian basketball league. And
how's Ari Shaffir?
Oh, dude, hey.
Ari can ball.
Took a couple elbows from Ben Glebe from Chelsea lately. Ari can ball. Ari would show up high every game and would actually, you know, he's tall.
Ari can play.
Yeah,
he can play.
Yeah, he can. He uses his body well. He had a couple moves I'll never forget because I remember him saying how baked he was like during halftime. And then he did some shit, but that made him more creative.
Yeah.
Like he did some fucking pivot and spin moves I don't even know were possible. Dr. J would have fucking pulled over and been like, what's your name, kid?
Yeah,
Weed will do that. It'll make you think you can do shit you're not possible of.
Yeah.
Dude, first time I got high and played basketball, I was envisioning every deadlift shrimp post move I could remember. And fucking just Sean Kemp spin moves left and right.
I love playing high. I like playing ball stoned. It's a fun sport.
It was the best.
Not all sports are great.
The game slows down.
I'm telling you, you start just like fucking between the legs.
For sure. I almost wish if I had smoked pot in high school, and I mean, my body wouldn't have been used to it to be able to handle it. But like, I kind of get why some of the kids on our team were doing that because they were probably had much more confidence to cross over because they were like,
takes that nervous edge off when you're balling.
Listen, guys, you don't know competitive basketball till you come with me in the summer to the Dwarf National Convention and there's fucking midget basketball.
What? Are they balling?
Oh, we are straight balling.
Oh, my God.
How's your ball skills? Solid?
Well, see, here's the thing.
All right.
I shoot.
There's a big explanation.
Here's the thing.
None of us can shoot. None of us can shoot because we're not used to being able to shoot because on the court we're like, fuck, this guy's 6 foot and he's coming at me. Yeah. I can't shoot over him.
Right.
So we're all like the flashiest passers you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
It's like the Globetrotter move at the beginning. God. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And we're all doing that. And then none of us know how to rebound.
So you've missed three or four solid skills needed to play basketball.
Yeah, rebounding, shooting. Yeah, that's it. We can't do that. Jumping, no.
But you play against other dwarf teams.
Yeah. So for rebounds, we just wait for the shit. Yeah, the biggest honor that a dwarf can get is like I'm 4'4" and I show up. They're like, ah, Brad's here, center. They're like, fuck yeah. I got this. I'll back you in. You little 3'8" punk.
4'4".
Two-time All-American. Yeah.
Dwarf basketball, man.
He's seen Willow 47 times.
Jaleel White, who's
he was in the league.
I was just gonna say he's been on the show 3 times.
Yeah.
Had told stories about how when he was shooting Family Matters and Warner Brothers and they were filming Space Jam and he would fucking go over and watch, you know, all the NBA stars and Damon Wayans and all these guys you were playing in the league with.
Yep.
You probably...
Damon didn't play in the league, but two of the Wayans did play Marlon and Sean Wayans. Okay. They played.
But I'm sure the guys that you were playing with were probably also in those Jordan Space Jam games.
For sure they were. Brian McKnight with a singer. That kid had game.
Did he?
McKnight
had real game.
Ah, that
dunk on you game.
That makes
dunk
me
on you game. Dunk on you game.
That makes me mad.
And Dwayne Martin, who he was on a bunch of shows, and he's like a real deal ball player. He had crazy game. I played against Denzel one time.
Shut the
Denzel
fuck
had
get
game.
Out.
He had like street hood game.
Oh my God. Fucking.
I remember his game. That I played with him though.
Well,
not
he got
the
game. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
he bought it up in that movie.
Yeah, he was
He taught Jesus Shuttlesworth how to ball. Of course he's got game.
That movie's
so
good.
He had game. Rappaport's game is like his personality. You know what I mean? All over the place.
Aggressive.
All over the place. You know what I mean? Just funny as shit.
Is he
heavy handed?
Is he like Mark Madsen on the court? Like
he just talks crazy shit.
Oh, of course he does.
He's like Gary Payton and Mark Madsen combined.
Exactly. He doesn't give a shit. He's just like.
You should start calling him Gary Madsen.
Get the fuck out of here, ref. What the hell are you talking about, ref? You don't know shit. What are you doing?
Just
you know what I mean?
So New York.
Just New York. Vocalize everything.
Michael Rappaport, by the way, if, you know, people, I'm assuming when you say Rappaport, there's only one Rappaport.
There's only one Rappaport.
Right?
Yeah. In my mind, man.
If you've seen fucking War at Home, True Romance, Friends, fucking
$200 million movie, The Heat.
Boston Public, The Heat. Yeah.
Small Time Crooks.
Hey, yeah. Small Time Crooks.
Woody Allen. Dude, and, Woody Allen was reaching out to him like when we were shooting our movie.
Oh,
and
up.
Scorsese, I swear to God.
Are you kidding me?
So, like, in a timeout, he's like checking text, going, hold on.
Exactly.
I got to call Woody Allen back.
Literally, like in Time Out, where he's just so chill and non-pretentious, and he's just chilling on the streets of New York, sitting there. He's like, "Yo, man, you're not gonna believe this." He's like, "I got a meeting with Scorsese." I'm like, "Get the fuck!" Like, you know, they respect him.
Yeah,
like he gets respect from like real, real filmmaker dudes.
Sure. Speaking of real filmmaker dudes,
dude.
I mean, let's just okay. So, My Man is a Loser.
Yeah,
of it. You wrote and directed this.
Yep,
it's coming out.
In like May or June, dude, Lionsgate's gonna announce it.
How bananas is it?
So it got picked up with fuck, congratulations,
thank you, man.
Dude, I talked to you when you were getting ready, when you sold this.
Yeah, when they like hired me to write it.
Yeah, dude. No, I was at the parlor one night. You were getting ready to shoot it, maybe.
Yeah.
Or no, when you hired to write it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then
I'm as shocked as you.
Dude, this is fucking nuts. And tell, and I mean, give your, give the premise first and then. The lead up to who's starring in it.
All right. The premise is two married guys out of touch with their wives. They employ their single cool friend who's Stamos, played by John Stamos.
Yeah, guess
Stamos!
What?
If
you needed the first name in that little name drop, you're don't ever go outside your house.
Exactly.
Again. There's only one Rappaport. There's only one Stamos.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk
that
about your movie. Talk about your movie. Then we got to talk about Stamos.
Yeah. Stamos is afraid of little people. Continue.
So they employ their single cool friend to help them get their swagger back to reconnect with their wives.
Perfect.
So it's called My Man is a Loser. We shot it in New York. It was an incredible experience. Lionsgate bought it like a month ago and made a big announcement. And they'll announce the release date probably like in the next few weeks. So I'll know like the release. But
is this going to be
theatrical?
Full theatrical release?
Well, dude, Michael Rappaport, one of the most solid TV movie actors of all time.
Of all time.
Brian Callen, one of the most charismatic.
Yeah. Dude, who? Hangover. Funniest dude.
Yeah. Dude, this could be his fucking breakout thing, man.
It will be.
Because I'm assuming he's. So it's Stamos is helping Rappaport and Callen?
Yes. Stamos helps Rappaport.
Because Callen has been like the. Almost like Schwarzen in a way, where he's like, he pops up and he's supporting roles and he's always great.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, man. Like,
he is starring in this thing.
That's one great.
I mean, it's an ensemble piece, but he's huge in this thing. I mean,
he must be so pumped.
He is super pumped.
So you're showcasing the world to Callen on for 90 minutes.
Exactly. That's a big platform. And he's funny as shit.
I
and Callen, man, we'd be on set and I hired, you know, I don't even like saying it like that. Like I hired Callen, but like I did basically hire Callen.
Hey, man. Well, you wrote and directed it. How much of that? I mean, you basically have final.
I have final say on every casting movie.
Yeah.
So I'm with Callen, no joke. We're in Miami. We're doing the improv. And like the movie's gearing up and I'm thinking like, yeah, I'm really making this movie now. And I'm with Callen. I'm hanging out. I'm thinking he's like the funniest person in regular life.
Yeah, yeah.
So his voice was just in my head. And I said to him in Miami, I go, Brian, this is going to sound crazy, but I think I'm directing this movie. It looks like we're going to make it. You should read this because there's a part in there that I swear you'd be great
for. Which, if you're in Hollywood, I mean, how many times does that sentence get tossed around?
Exactly.
And he says to me, come on, man. You know how many friends I have with film funds, supposed film funds that are making a movie?
Right.
And I'm like, yo, bro, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you this looks like it's really going to happen. I can't believe it either. But read this thing, and I'm going to get you with the producers because I think you'd be great. He reads it overnight in Miami. We're doing the improv, Coconut Grove.
Mm-hmm.
He reads it. We meet for coffee in the morning. He's like, holy fuck, bro. This is like a fucking real movie. I'm in. I want in. Call my manager. So he didn't even have to audition. I called the producers. I go, you're not going to, because my producers are first time film producers.
Oh, okay.
So they're not like well schooled on anybody.
They don't know who people are. So
they don't.
So you say you have.
They know about Stamos.
Well, obviously.
You know?
Who doesn't? But like, you tell them you got the foreign guy from The Hangover. They're like, we're in.
Exactly.
He's in the movie.
Not just that, but I kept the mentality the whole time of like, let's just make the best funniest movie. Fuck names. I'm not going to think about names. You guys can think about names for your marketing plan, whatever. Let's just do it. Trust me. Let's just keep our focus on making a great movie. Mm-hmm. And I went, you know, I had, so Callan's in. Then it turns out I go, you know, I send the script because Rappaport, I was a fan. I played ball with him. He really didn't really remember me from ball.
Yeah. Because like, I guess there's only so much you just have to feel out people during the game and afterwards. I mean, it's.
Plus, he meets a million people in his life, way more than I do. So I send Rappaport's people the script, and I'm like, I want Rappaport to do this. So he reads the script, and he's like, I want to have lunch with this guy, Mike Young. He's not putting two and two together that we even balled together.
Wow.
So we go, and I meet him at like a juice place because he's on a juice cleanse.
We can say
their
name, Jamba Juice. Yeah, it's fucking one of our sponsors. Yeah. Let's not spare the first part of that.
Yeah. I meet him at Jamba. Jamba. We go to Jamba.
Got an orange dream.
Totally.
Machine.
And he looks at me. He goes, holy fuck, it's fucking you.
It's fucking you.
He goes, it's you? Goes, I keep hearing your name. Like, who the fuck is this Mike Young guy?
Well, that and it's like Mike Young. It's not, it's not a name. You know, it's a pretty common type name.
It's not a common type name. He didn't know it. We go. We have lunch. He's like, bro, I love the script. I'm in. Have your people call
Jesus,
my manager. Just like that.
Done.
I'm like, bro. So I get, you know, so obviously.
So now you got Rappaport. Now I got Callan.
Got Callan.
Stamos.
And now, we have a casting director who's like sending me people to meet. So I'm having like lunches at like Canner's Deli with like actors, actresses.
Can you name
like
anybody who
people.
You were?
Like we went out to like James Marsden I met with for the Mike character, you know?
Cyclops.
Like big, you know, some big name dudes.
Yeah, that guy's killing it.
So my producer.
By the way, talk about that though real quick. Being at a point to where like your movie, something you wrote there, you're getting to meet with people of that caliber. Your shit.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, it was weird being the boss of this because I'm on the other side of it. Right. And I got like the girl who played Ari's wife in Entourage. And she's like on the, you know, auditioning for me and like telling me like, God, I'd love to be in this. And I'm such a fan of like Rappaport and I always dreamed of.
How much of
So I'm like all fucked up in the head over this.
Because like you're meeting these huge stars, but then you got to end the meeting because that night you have the 11:30 spot at the Comedy Store.
No joke. You know what I mean? I got to go make my $12.50 at the fucking Laugh Factory while I'm telling Ari's wife that she's not in my movie. It was a brain fuck. So
and how much? She's like, I love Rappaport. You're like, me too. He's the best. Oh yeah, you probably even forget for a second. That's right. He's in my movie.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be playing his.
I was
wife.
Curious why you were so interested in Rappaport right now.
Yeah,
it's like all right.
It was fucking. It got weird, but then I got comfortable with it, and I was like, and I just tried to keep my mind on the product, and then the Stamos part we hadn't cast, and my producer kept talking about Stamos. Like he in his mind was like. What about John Stamos? And I'm like, yo, I love John Stamos. He's like, he's that guy. He is the cool, single dude who's that guy. So,
Who hasn't been in a dope movie like that?
Right.
All the agents are like, bro, you know, you got to get Mars and you got to get this guy who's like a known star, who's a movie guy.
I mean, Stamos isn't a known star. Go fuck yourself. Who hasn't heard of Jesse and the Rippers?
Movies. They're talking about movie star. Right,
but, you know, you can, from a certain angle, understand, like, you know, Marsden is a movie star.
A movie star. Totally.
And that's like.
Totally.
You know,
yeah, it was just Anchorman 2. Yeah, so
exactly. He's a movie star and he's great. But so Stamos is managed by the same guy that Rappaport's managed by. So we call them, we go, yo, get Stamos the script and see if he's even into it because I love Stamos.
You never hear these inner workings, by the way. That's a huge get. Just the fact that they share the same manager.
They share the same manager.
So it's so easy to be like.
Well, the funny, I'll tell you if I'm not talking too much, I'll tell you.
Please,
what
talk away, man.
After that.
All right.
So they got the same manager. Stamos gets the script, and their manager calls me. He's like, yo, Mike, Stamos wants to have lunch with you. Will you meet him at Newsroom Cafe? Yes, I'll meet him at Newsroom Cafe. I'll meet him in his fucking driveway. I'll do whatever you want. So he comes in.
I'll meet him
in
at the Full House fucking set.
Yo, this motherfucker comes in with the sunglasses, the dope hair, the fucking jawline, like looking like he doesn't belong anywhere on earth.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like too cool for
Greek
earth.
God.
You know what I mean? And he comes.
Eating his yogurt.
Fucking yogurt. Just, you know what I mean?
He does that thing where he takes one last bite and tosses it in the trash.
He just looks at
the
yogurt.
There's no trash can nearby, but one shows up and fucking. And catches the yogurt.
Totally. He just looks at the yogurt and it's gone. And he tosses it.
What? I eat yogurt through osmosis. You don't?
Exactly. He's osmosing yogurt. So he shows up at the Newsroom Cafe. I'm sitting there waiting, a little nervous. You know, I never met him before, but I kind of, you know, I know about him through Saget, through doing shows with Saget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're buddies.
Did you open for Bob for a while?
Yeah, a bunch of times.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
This weekend, I'm with him in Phoenix.
Dude,
nice. Right back to reality.
Right.
No, dude, that's the best, though.
It's the best.
Wait, so did he give you a little Stamos prep?
Yes. He prepped me on Stamos.
Please.
He's like, he's like, listen, John's the sweetest guy. He's the nicest guy. Through the grapevine, he really likes the script, man. So you might be onto something. You know, just be cool. You know, if he's quirky, you know, don't worry about it. He's just like kind of prepping me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he just prepped me on Stamos. I got Stamos prepped.
Helpful to have, by the way, because if you go in, you know, just
blind.
Yeah, yeah, and you might turn into a fanboy at some point if there's like that weird, awkward silence. You're like, okay, so fucking Full House was awesome, you know, or something like that. Yeah,
and let me tell you, man, and being from Detroit, I am fanboy still. Like, even with Rappaport, I was a fucking fan.
I know.
Sure.
I'm not, I still have this little genetic tweak that's like a fan of everyone I'm kind of around.
Yeah, dude.
I wasn't born cool like that.
No,
you
dude, if Tia and Tamara walked in here right now, for like, I'd give a double take.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fucking get up and leave the podcast, but I'd go, oh, shit, why are they using my bathroom without asking?
Totally. And I feel like they've been here with Jaleel White. Arm in arm.
The whole Friday night lineup for TGIF. It's
been sure. It happened.
Yeah,
Jody Sweetin's on next week.
Yeah.
Done.
Wasn't she who?
She was Stephanie Tanner.
Yeah.
I actually met her.
Oh, cool.
So Stamos comes in. We meet. He sits down. He's like, dude, this is my life. You wrote, this is my script. He's like, I'm like, well, actually, Mike is Mike.
Yeah, it's actually my life. Hate to be a dick, but yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, this dude's, like, too cool to be my guy.
Sure.
So, but we sit for a while, and he's like, I've been through this, and this relationship-wise. He tells me about his ex-wife and all the crazy shit he went through, what being single meant to him, and, like, how he'd love to settle down, and all the shit he learned being single and having his married buddies and relating. And he's like, dude, I'm fucking in. He's like, I'm in. If you want me in, just make the offer. So now he's like, make the offer. I'm like, I'm not the one that makes the offer.
Right.
I got another guy to call.
I wrote the shit. Stamos. I'm not making offers.
Yo, by the way, that's a crazy moment. Like, I don't care who you are. John Stamos is going, I want to be in your shit, man.
He's like, I love the way you write. He's like, I love the way you write. You write like people talk. I'm like, shit, man, this is getting good. Like, I got fucking three fucking quality dudes.
You mind sending a text message to Dave Coulier real quick to see if he'll play the bartender?
Right. Meanwhile, I got my lawyer. At this point, I don't have an agent working for me. I got my lawyer handling everything. I don't even have an agent. Yeah.
Well, a lit agent, you mean?
Any agent. I did this shit basically on my own.
Dude, wow. That's
bananas, crazy.
Dude. That's so
insane,
man. Of course,
insane, yeah, now I'm with CAA.
Ooh,
yeah, shit. Yeah.
Good.
As well you should be, man.
Call going me. Down to Avenue of the Stars.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, in 8 months, they won't be talking to me. But, you know what I mean? But for right now, everything's great. Yeah.
But, like, how awesome is it? And we'll get back, but, like, in all the corporate agencies and, like, there's a formula to this, but how refreshing is it that it's like, or you could just let a talented guy whose job it is for a living, yours, to be funny, just say, hey, you know what's funny.
Yep.
You do it all the time. It's all you think about. Let's get you and some boys together that are the guys you grew up with, those types of characters, and let's fucking make a great movie. Love that.
Yeah, but
that,
I mean, like,
that's the mentality that I go with on everything. Like,
yeah.
Like, tell me no and or slow the process down through, like, agents and lawyer and all that. I'm just going to go make the phone call through fucking someone I know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just get
But
to
the whole who you know is such a big part of this, because, like, you being with Callan and then getting that, because everything had to happen to, like, get the ball rolling in another thing. So once you got Callan through that, and then the Rappaport thing through Hoops, I mean, it's like, and then once you got him, it's, I feel like that's when things started really, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Pick up.
Absolutely. And it's like, it's a cliche, but yeah, like, when opportunity meets preparedness, that's when things happen.
That's luck.
I always wanted to just make sure that the script was dope.
I was just going
to
say, it starts with that, man.
Mm-hmm. It starts with that.
Yeah.
Because believe me when I tell you, they didn't need the money. I mean, maybe,
sure.
I don't know what Callan was doing, maybe, but I got him a fucking fat paycheck.
Maybe Rappaport has some gambling debts you don't know about. Who knows? But
you never know.
Yeah, sure.
But I know Stamos didn't need the money.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So they love, they
He's
really
got yogurt
dug
cash, man.
Big time. Living in yogurt. And so that
living
to
yogurt,
me,
the John Stamos
clubs
story.
And throws fucking, throws Yoplays.
Yeah. Yoplay, Whirlpool, Jacuzzi. Believe me, he's got it.
He's got it.
Believe me.
All right,
So then Stamos comes, we sign up. We're like, now I got my cast. I've got my three leads. And now, you know, that's really how they all came to the table, and they were all in. And then, obviously, then, like, the negotiation part starts.
Yeah, right.
And that's when my personal relationships it helped with some things, but then like all of a sudden, like Rappaport and Stamos' manager is calling me to push the money guys. Like, tell your fucking money guys that right. we need to, you know, I need 65 on this end. Yeah. I need points yeah. here. So now I'm like, now I'm the writer, the director, and now I'm the fucking negotiator.
Right.
So I was like, yo, bro, calm down. Like, you're putting me in a bad spot. But I basically.
Did you have to take that role on, though?
I did. I called my guys. I said, listen, let's just make this fucking work. Mm-hmm. These guys are the perfect guys. Make it work. No one's getting buried. No one's getting rich.
There's got to be some concern a little at some point. Where
oh,
you're
we
like,
almost
dude,
lost people. We almost, you know, there was negotiations. God. You know, Stamos' schedule got real tricky for a second.
Sure.
And then, like, we lost him for a second. And we had to get him back. You know, I was like really holding shit together.
People don't realize that, man, because I mean, there's you see it every now and then on a Bravo or A&E special where it's like, you know, Indiana Jones was going to be played by Gary Busey, but then yeah. Busey had to do a Chevrolet voiceover job.
Right.
It's like, dude, those things are happening every day. And
happen
people
all
just,
the time.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I've heard stories of, who was it in Bill and Keanu Reeves for Bill and Ted, man? Who? Yeah. Somebody was supposed. Well, shit. Chris Farley was supposed to be Shrek. I knew that, but then you know he yeah. passed away. Yeah. But it's like, and then yeah. Mike Myers did it, and fucking, I mean, kind of changed his life.
Isn't that crazy?
There's just you know,
all the shit had to line up. Mm-hmm. All yeah, and you know, I mean, yeah. you've been in these, you've yeah. been in these movies. You see the shit get moved around. I mean, yes.
Oh yeah,
that's
dude,
why you
Reginald
can't.
Vell Johnson was supposed to play my part in The Heat.
He was,
and they were like, wait. How old is Reginald? And they were like, and nobody knew.
Oh, you're being serious?
No, I'm not.
He sold you on it, though.
I'm like, who is Reginald Johnson?
Carl Winslow, man, from Family Matters.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, a lot of, a lot of 90s.
A lot of 90s references in this podcast.
All right, so then the whole cast gets together. You go to New York.
Yeah, everyone mm-hmm.
get
together.
The best place to shoot, I feel like.
We budget
sure.
out the movie. We're going to New York. I've been to New York a bunch of times, but I never directed a movie. You know what I mean?
Now talk about that, man.
And you're
writing
first
it
time
as one
director.
Yeah. First time director. Yeah. So my producers, my money guys, they're like, listen, we got to find a director. And that's when my crazy Detroit mentality stepped up. And I was like, and I told him, I said, listen, I will actively find you a director. But I have been on set 1,000 times. I've been on Entourage 1,000 times. I've been on sets of movies a bunch of times. Trust me. Comedies get ruined by people that don't understand right. the rhythm of comedy.
You got to be super protective at this point, too, knowing that if you give up your chance to do that, that you're going to, like, the whole thing is going to be fucked.
Exactly. So I said, if you get me a good DP and a great AD, I know I can direct this thing. Mm-hmm. And they called my boy. They called Doug Ellen, the creator of Entourage, a friend of mine. And they checked and they said, Doug, because they knew Doug from New York. And they said, Doug, Mike says he wants to direct this thing. What do you think? And Doug goes, said some comment like, if you get him a good AD and a great DP, a monkey will direct it. He said some ridiculous shit that was like a put down mixed with a compliment.
Yeah.
But he said enough to get them to say yes. So they're like, dude,
again, another relationship fucking coming
relationship.
Out to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going to bat for me.
But but like you said, especially comedy. Because how many times have us as three comedians in this business have been told by some stage manager, some club owner.
Is that just me?
Maybe just you. Yeah. But like some guy that's never told a joke in his life, he's like, well, you say the word. I mean, I got a note from Comedy Central one time that was, you say the word retarded. We think it would be funnier if you said mentally challenged. No, that's not funnier. Because if it was, I would say mentally challenged.
Because that's what I do. Because I wrote it.
Right. So I went through the process of elimination of words. And so, and especially with you writing this, you don't want some guy that's like, oh, but he directed this action movie or this romantic comedy. It's like, it's not, he doesn't know these words.
Exactly.
I know these words.
That's exactly what I thought.
And you fought for it. And I love that
Yo,
shit.
Yo, bro, I went to bat for myself. And then I had a couple other, and then Rappaport was in, you know. He was like, yo, let him direct it. And I did go do my dude as much as I could. I bought books on directing. I went
directing for dummies.
I shadowed friends that were directing things. Like, I'd go follow them around.
Did your research?
But then I realized I was
watched every Jackie Chan movie.
Every Jackie Chan movie. I had my pacing. I took it from that. I took my pacing from Jackie Chan.
So first day, what do you see? I mean,
first day, bro, I fly to New York and like the offices are already set up in New York before I get there. So for 2 weeks, my art department, you know, I've already Skype interviewed my DP, my AD, Because it's in New York, I can't take a bunch of people from L.A. You got to do union shit.
Union
so you
got to
hire
yeah.
a lot of people out
DP,
of New York.
DP, your cinematographer, the guy's going to shoot everything.
He's going to shoot everything.
Your first assistant director is AD, who's basically
the wrangler, running shit.
Yeah.
Like running shit, like getting everybody ready.
Checking in with you, but checking in with the fucking extras and the cast and making sure everybody's like where they got to be.
Yeah. He's the mean dude on set.
Right.
Like to where I was like, damn, you really are kind of mean. Like they say the AD's got to be mean. Like,
has to be.
Calm down, bro. Like, you're a reflection on me. I'm not a mean
guy. Just because we ran out of Fruitios doesn't mean you fucking have to
calm down.
Lay into that kid.
Stamos loves his fruit snacks.
Yeah.
Get him there.
And he was cool because he didn't have, you know, they could have fought for big trailers and all that shit.
Sure.
But we all went as a team, independent mentally. Like our game was just independent, cool, funny film. Let's make the best product.
It's the best.
We go there. I get to New York and it's just game on. It's like picked up in a van, going to my office. Here's my office. All new people I've never met. Art department. How do you like this? What do you think about the table here? And it's just fucking...
Are people looking at you like, who's this new director? Or are they just like, oh, this is the director?
All respect.
Yeah.
Well, the funny shit is, you know, our line producer, like the UPM, like the guy that runs the money, who runs the shit, he's kind of like Italian. He's kind of New York, and he's been in the game for 20-some years. I hadn't met him face-to-face yet, but I'm getting calls from him, and he's kind of like sort of gangstering at me a little bit, like, you know, talking like, you can't have this, but you can have this. You can't have this, you can have this. So we're like debating on things, and I want three cameras, and because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like kind of bullying me a little bit. And I'm like thinking, oh, shit, I got no back when I get to New York.
Right.
Who's this guy I got to fucking get, you know, who I'm going to go toe-to-toe with when I get back? And the first day I go in, and it's like, here I go walk in, and it's this guy, Vince Maggio, and his feet are up on the fucking desk, and I just fucking...
Of course his name's Vince.
And I'm like, and I broke the ice comedy style. I was like, before I even saw him, I'm like yelling down the hall, like, where's this Vince Maggio guy? I gotta meet this Vince Maggio. And we hit it off.
Awesome.
And we were fucking brothers from then on out.
There you go.
And he just fucking handled it. And that's the guy, when you're shooting in New York... You need that guy to have your back.
Yeah, because there's
so
much.
Unions.
Yeah.
He's got the fucking, you know what I mean? We're locking streets down.
Sure.
He's got the shit on lock.
That's
got
to be crazy, too. How many movies have you seen that are filmed in New York? Now you're filming, like, you're fucking, I mean, like, King Kong, Ghostbusters, fucking.
My man is a loser. King Kong. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yo, all in the same
right?
thing.
But, I mean, you're looking at certain street corners being, I mean.
For real. I'm staring at the Empire State Building. I'm shooting.
Getting those shots.
I'm shooting in the Village. I'm shooting
Hell's
in the Meatpacking District.
That
Soho.
Yeah.
All that. Hell's Kitchen.
And is there times when Stamos does something and you need something more from him and you have to be the moment where it's like, oh, fuck, this is my job. And you go, hey, John, could you do it more like this? Let me tell you how to act. And in the back of your head, you're like, hopefully he doesn't. Realize this is bullshit, but what? Like,
Man.
Like, I had that moment.
I had that moment, for sure. And I would try to, like, because the language is what's the toughest thing for a director, speaking that language of, like, what do I want to get out of the actor?
Right.
So I actually read a couple books about how to speak to him and using verbs and, like, putting him in scenarios. But they were so fucking good that maybe 3-5% of the time did I ever have to say, you know, do it like this or do it like... Stamos and I had one maybe argument on set one day. And he's like, you know, why would my character say this to this girl, you know, who he just met? And I just said, listen, bro, you've been famous for 30 years. What you say, what you think you say to girls that you have to say, that's not what human beings have to say.
Right.
Trust me when I tell you, coming from a worker, like, you know what I mean? A blue collar person that has to pick up a girl. Just trust me that that's how you got to talk to this character. You know, you got to just talk to this girl that way.
It's a great point.
And he was like, hey, you're right. You're fucking right. Now get the fuck out of my face.
Dude, because that was like that, because, and you talk about language, because you're complimenting him. You're saying, listen, you get so much tail, and you're so, like, you're in this other level of man that you don't know how the regular guy talks.
Yeah, and you have to man up and be like, yo, I got to tell Stamos, like, I have to tell him that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, relay it and, you know, hope that we're cool enough that he knows that I'm just trying to, like, you know, not be like, yo, you don't know. Not know how to act, but like, 30 years of being that famous, for sure that affects how you view shit.
Exactly.
He forgets that he doesn't have to
say anything,
man. Again, eat the yogurt, stare at it, it disappears, your dick's getting sucked.
I said, yo, bro, you don't even talk. You haven't talked in 3 years. And you're getting more pussy than anybody on the planet.
Yeah.
So just let me please just.
And isn't that funny that he needs
one.
A reminder on that?
Yeah, I had to remind him.
And go, hey.
He's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I own the D from Disneyland. I don't have to talk.
He does, actually. It's in his backyard.
I know he does.
Yeah. John Stamos bought the D. Like
Disney.
He literally owns the D from the Disneyland sign that like they threw out. He bought it.
Are you serious?
It said fuck it.
Yo, he's so cool that like I'll never forget.
John Stamos loves the D.
We're talking about relationships. We're like breaking
defense. He loves the defense
right.
WNBA
defense.
Games.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He couldn't name four players in the NBA.
No, for real?
Oh, for real.
No sports dude.
Not at all.
So you got Rappaport.
And he's proud of it. He's like, listen, bro, you think my dad was happy? He's like, I fucking grew up tap dancing and singing. You think my dad's happy? You know what I mean? It's like, he's just happy I like pussy. You know what I mean?
Done.
I mean, and he could fucking sing. He could do everything.
Sure. Wait, wasn't he in the producers? Or no?
Not the producers. He was in, he actually did
it
right after
in business?
Movie. No. It was,
42nd Street? I don't know.
The man, the best man.
Okay.
Where he plays the president to be in the election. I think it's called The Best Man.
Yeah.
Right. Our Best Man. It was on Broadway. He was great. I went and saw it.
Should have been called Stamos Can Dance.
Yeah. It just should have been called, like, Stamos. Look at my hair.
Look at
watch me win.
Watch me win.
The John Stamos story. Yeah. Watch me win.
Yeah.
On A&E.
But the deal was, what I learned is,
the best
hire
man's. Yeah.
Damn good actors because... And respect the game. Like, respect their game. Because it's no joke. Like, he's fucking a real actor.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He can
yeah.
fucking act.
He brings it
up.
In this, huh?
Rappaport brings it. Callan brings it. Mm. And so I just step back. And I've heard, like, you know, directors be like, actors are this. And No. I respected their game. And they got it. Were there moments? I never had any moments with Rappaport. Because we kind of, like, are both, like, kind of street type kids.
Yeah, man.
And we kind of speak the same language. But there were some funny things with Callan. Because Callan... He's so naturally funny.
And he's your boy, too, so he knows he could push your buttons a little more than the other guys.
And you need that guy. Because if you and Rappaport don't have you're building rapport on set, you and Stamos same way. But,
yeah.
So it must have been nice to have one dude you were really comfortable with, and so great that it's Callan because he makes everybody comfortable.
It was so great. I guess
Rappaport told me during when we had that day, he was like, dude, he just finished.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, Brian Callan is the funniest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's like, that guy was fucking, he's on another planet funny.
I'm he
like,
is.
Yeah, dude.
And that's what I told Callan, because Callan would be floating through and just killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, come to me and be like, yo, was there any value in my character maybe saying? And I go, Brian, listen, bro, I got to just tell you. You're the funniest fucking guy I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're in a comedy. Just do what
Make
you're doing.
Make the choices.
You know what I mean? You are making all the right – you're making all the right choices.
I tell Brian Callan all the time, I say, you never have to worry about anyone stealing your stand-up material because only you could make that shit funny.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Only you.
Totally.
It's nuts.
And I told him, even if there was anything to say that I said to him, I said, bring out some of that shit that you do in stand-up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a scene where he's like, you know, his
talking about his
like,
lats.
That's a tight shirt. He's like, no, it's not a tight shirt. This is just what happens when you do push-ups for hours at a time. You know, he just Callan it
that's
up.
That's great, man. Callan it up.
Yo, Callan it up. What am I going to not use Callan being Callan?
Yeah.
That'd be
also because,
waste.
Think about most of his... at least from what I've seen, TV or movie things have been characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where's
the Entourage?
Where are you
or,
and what do people? Why do people love Callan so much?
Because of Callan,
and because what who he is on stage. And I don't feel like, and what I mean, maybe there's just I haven't seen enough of his shit, but I feel like I haven't seen that guy on screen yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you haven't until and now.
Until
he
my
gets,
man is a loser coming out May TBA.
Yeah, TBA.
My man is a loser, dude. I'm so fucking happy for you.
Thanks,
it's so cool
Thanks,
to see.
Yeah, I mean,
a
yeah.
comic. Do what we do, write comedy, and then it goes through the proper channels, and you get to work with awesome guys, and you saw your dream, and now
I haven't been this excited for a movie in Howard. Dude, when you first told me, and then you told me who was attached,
done.
I no joke. I mean, the enthusiasm when you talked to me about it, man.
Yeah.
I just like, I could, it was, you know, I'm so fucking.
Thanks, man.
Also, because you're such a fucking dope dude, man.
I appreciate
like,
it.
From the get-go that, because we've never hung out outside of the comedy clubs.
Right.
But dude, you always fucking chum it up with me, man. And it's just like, you're a good dude and you're, and you know, you're funny too. That helps a lot.
Thank you.
Because like, you know, it's tough to be friends with somebody if they're terrible. At
we have no non-funny friends. Right? You know that.
Yeah.
And
comedians who are real don't have any fucking.
I'm sure we all are thinking of a couple names which we're not going to bring up of guys like trying.
I'll say it. Danny Bonaducci. Yeah. Where are you at, man?
Yeah.
You keep fucking killing my Super Bowl parties.
Yeah. I'll tell you where you're not here.
Wait, you got to tell. All right, so Stamos, Brad has.
Okay, I'll tell this story about Stamos real quick. So I'm doing K-Rock's April Foolishness show, and that's like 7 or 8 comics. It's Gibson Amphitheater. It's 6,000 people. Saget's on the bill. I'm on the bill, and I'm waiting to go on. Saget runs, grabs me, and goes, "You got to come with me." Stamos is here. He's afraid of little people. and I'm well, first of all, I've never met Stamos before, and fuck yeah, I want to meet Stamos, so sure, I'll do whatever. So Stamos is talking to like the stage manager or something, because he's about to go on stage with
getting
Saget.
A back rub from a stranger, you know,
as he does, because he just walked in with
we're
yogurt.
Watching him win. Again. Again.
So and I just walk up next to him and stand next to him and just like start like I'm including myself in the conversation. he looks down and he definitely has that moment. But then he realizes that people are looking at him, and like Saget told a couple people, watch this shit. Stamos is afraid of little people, so like, people are looking at him. So he's like, and then he looks and he sees people looking at him. He's like, what's up, dude? Like, and he has to fucking fake it and stuff. And then we ended up all taking pictures together, and the picture I have. I'll show it to you.
He's terrified.
He's terrified in the picture. He's straining his neck muscles. He's like, oh my God.
Yo, he doesn't know if he's going to turn into stone. He doesn't know what's going down, man.
He really is afraid of little people.
Yeah, he actually is.
Yeah, I heard that a long time ago.
It's confirmed, man.
Yeah.
That is fucked up.
Which is
why. With him?
Yo, hey, I think we got to get him on the podcast to promote the movie when it comes out.
Hell yeah.
Fucking and settle that. Oh, rumor once and for all.
Put him in the uncomfortable seat.
Yeah. And,
right here.
And we'll have the moment where we'll have both you guys on. You guys will be sitting. Adam will be sitting in his chair. And then I'll show up late. And Ray.
Dude, well, I mean, we want to have him on the podcast, though.
Well,
we
right. But like not too late. But I'll be like 2 minutes late. Like I'll watch him. Like
that
watch
actually
him walk
would be
in.
The greatest episode ever. We get 2 minutes of Stamos dialogue.
Yeah.
Brad comes in, and then we hear him on the show. Get up and go. I nah. I'm out of here.
Bye, guys. Fuck you, Mike.
Fuck you, Mike.
Fuck you, Mike. Fuck you, Mike. You did this to me.
You did this to me. And then he bumps into Brad on the way, and he goes, "Watch the hair. Watch the hair."
I got him to respond to me on Twitter because I told all of our about last night. Podcast listeners to tweet him and say why are you afraid of midgets?
Yes. Yeah. Did he have an answer?
Yeah, he said, "I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of your breath." It's like on Twitter. So I'm
he
like,
is
great,
a funny dude.
He is funny. I'm like, great. So now like 2 million people think I have bad breath. Fucking
dude,
awesome.
We should for sure. Could we try to make that happen?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, bro. When we get our release date, that's when you're gonna see a bunch of stuff coming out about the movie and like everyone's. You know, Stamos will be on a talk show. I'm trying to get myself on shit. I'm like, yo, I'm a comedian too. Put me on.
We should
show.
Have you back you on for this because we've gotten a pretty good following through this now, man. So this is like a legitimate thing to have people promote you on. So you should come back on.
Has Rappaport been on here?
We have texted back so much, man.
He was going to do it
a month after the heat, but now this is. But it would have been for us to just have rap. But now there's like a giant purpose for it.
Yes.
So I think the timing it didn't happen for a reason. And we haven't had Callan on either, and we've gone back and forth. So
we'll do it all.
Put this on. It'll be Regis and Kathy Lee, Kimmel, and the About Last Night podcast for the My Man Is a Loser press
done.
Tour.
I got a publicist ready to go. I haven't paid her, but I'm sleeping.
Yeah, Mike Young are the best. The movie is called My Man Is a Loser. Look for it about. When would you say? Maybe May, you said? Maybe?
Look around May. You'll hear an announcement from Lionsgate.
That's a great time of year,
month.
By the way, to get movies.
Yeah. You're kicking off the summer, man.
Yeah. You'll have a good time. Laugh
at
it.
Your
like
first
it.
Movie is a summer movie.
Too.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be. Are you already thinking about like bringing fam and friends to the premiere and all
We're
that?
We're going to have a premiere. I am.
You got to do one here for.
We are.
Okay.
For sure. You'll know. You guys.
No, in my apartment, I mean. Like, we got to do it
right here. Yeah.
You'll love my family.
I'll get a big screen.
So cool.
I bet they're the coolest, man.
You'll love my Jewish mother.
Wait, you're Jewish too?
Yeah. I'm a Jew, bro.
Dude.
Bar mitzvah.
Done.
Dude. Yeah.
All right. Fist pounded up.
Come
here, you goy.
Yeah.
Dude, what was your Torah portion? You remember?
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Are you kidding? I can do the whole thing. I was thrown out of Hebrew school, but I remember.
For putting some N-bombs in the Via Hafta?
No, I incited.
That's hilarious if you're a Jew. If you're a Jew, that's hilarious. The Via Hafta is a prayer.
Yeah. I incited a riot in Hebrew school.
What?
I was a bad kid. There were like some
tell
white.
Tell the story real quick.
Yeah.
I'll just tell it real quick.
No, no, take your time. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
You know how you go from regular school to Hebrew school?
Yeah.
So you're already fucking
obviously
in school.
I know that.
Yeah, you know Brad, when you got to get on a bus and go to another school.
Yeah.
So sure. Our Hebrew school was in a neighborhood that was all like country boys, like white boy neighborhood.
There you were.
But we were in our Hebrew school.
You killed Jesus, motherfucker.
And they didn't like us. And so one day, these white boys. It was like out of the like the Wanderers. Did you ever see the Wanderers?
Yeah.
The fucking Ducky Boys show.
Oh
up.
My God.
The white trash gang.
Is that a version
up.
Of like The Outsiders?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a darker. You got to see the Wanderers, Adam. You will love this movie. Guaranteed.
It's like Warriors with better clothes.
Yeah. It's just a badass version.
Is Jackie Chan in it?
Yeah. He plays the teacher.
Fuck yeah.
So he.
Of course he does.
So all
Who
these fucking
ass.
White boys that did not like Jews rolled up on into our classroom and they were like, "Fuck you, Jews."
Oh,
this and that.
Jesus.
Yo, and I'm in like 7th grade. You know what I mean? 6th, 7th grade.
That's mind-blowing. You didn't know that anti-Semitism was really a thing?
I knew it was a thing, but I never experienced it like that. Like, I never had that. And these kids rolled up, and I was the first one, and I picked up a chair, and I launched it at the group of those kids. And we fucking went into a melee.
When a chair is thrown.
And I'm fucking thrown, and I get thrown out of Hebrew school for it. You know what I mean? Like, I was defending my people.
Yeah.
That is so fucked. I fucking launched a chair right
You were Moses.
Yeah, well, I am Moses.
I am Moses. Yeah.
All right. After, what was the first stand-up special called? I forget the name, but I am Moses is the next one.
Yeah.
Dude, that's
So, yeah, I was thrown out, had to get a private tutor, and had my bar mitzvah. Yeah, bro.
But you know what? You're fucking Moses.
Yeah.
And now you have a movie.
How proud is your mom of all this?
Beyond.
Because
she came
to
set. I put my nephews in the movie. I gave them little one. Line
dude, so
family
dope.
Was beyond
best uncle
happy.
Ever.
There was a day, you know, when you like everything's so by the book in a movie, legalities. There's, you know what I mean? You can't sing a song unless it's cleared.
Ugh, right.
So I put my nephew
so you're like,
in.
All right, we can't get Phil Collins. We'll get fucking, you know, Dave Collins who covers Phil.
Literally. And that still costs $20,000 to cover Phil.
Susu Studio isn't cheap for your opening
Hell
credits.
No. Oh, I couldn't even think about that song.
Wait, what music? Because that to me is such a dope part of a movie.
That was
music.
Such a fun part for me.
Oh, yeah.
I went and dug up like cool ass indie music.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, you know, I have friends that are in the music business.
Did
so
Rappaport throw any of his hip hop shit in there?
I got some dope hip hop, but we couldn't really afford like dope classic hip hop.
That shit
was like 50,000 a song.
Isn't that crazy?
But I found this artist named Wax, and his song, he's got this dope song about being a man. And
you might make his career.
No joke. He doesn't even know it because he's a rapper and his manager was like
he knows
hood.
His music is in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He knows. But I found his song on the internet. Anyway, like for music wise, I like had a bunch of friends in indie cool groups. I had them all submit songs, and then I placed the songs. My ex girl got a song. You know, I put
Holy
my ex's
shit.
Song in it.
That's
that
cool,
was
dude.
One of the most fun things ever was picking music. But I don't want to give too much of the movie away.
For
but
sure.
There is a cool ass old school song that you'll dig. I'm not going to tell you right now.
I bet I know what it is. Color Me Bad's I Want to Sex You Up.
That would have been phenomenal for like a tag.
Just fucking Stamos walking down the street eating yogurt and you just hear, ooh.
Good.
Dude.
We both wanted to be in that band.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to tell me.
Dude, I wanted to be. Well, I look like I'm fucking. Look at my hair. I look like him in all those bands.
Yeah.
The Adam Devine on Workaholics did the same thing for their opening theme song. It was I don't know if it's a rapper or just some. You know, weird group.
You gotta get creative musically because you gotta find it cheap.
Had that song, their
so
opening credit song.
Somebody.
Yep.
And I mean, that seems like such a cool part.
Was an awesome part. You know, then you have your composer. You know, who will scores like the in-between stuff, you know, the emotional moments funny coming.
Piano.
Which
stuff.
I was adamant with. I was like, yo, man, do not do like, do-do-do-do-do-do. Here comes joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't fuck around like that, please.
Right.
Even though he had done stuff, you know, you get in those little debates, but.
Sure.
Because the music tone.
Tone is everything.
I mean, keep the
tone.
Because you're assisting people with their emotions a little bit.
Totally.
Being like, yo, this is kind of how you're supposed to feel right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to push you into, I'm not going to tell you to cry. But fucking, hey, man, if Keith Sweat starts playing, you know what to do.
You hear some solid strings coming from a violin. You don't know why you're crying, but you're getting ready to
do it. You're getting to do it.
So your Jewish mom, because I have a super Jewish mom. Is she
super Jewish mom.
I mean, is she just like...
She's she tell all her friends know about the movie.
Dude, you're in the Temple Bulletin.
I am. No
my
joke.
Mom got,
my mom's
when
the Temple Israel right now.
My mom's got a whole write-up in this.
My son, he wrote a movie. Mike Young,
yes.
John Stamos is in
Are
it.
Are you kidding me? My rabbis fucking lost their shit when they saw the Heat, man.
Of course. Yeah, his rabbis were coming up to him like, so, how does Sandra Bullock's breast feel? We saw your head being rubbed in him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and that
By
was the
way,
wife. That
good
was the wife.
Invitation for an extreme non-Jew.
Thank you,
yeah, yeah.
You know, just hanging out with Ray, you learn a couple
Yo, things. By the way, Little Rabbi...
Little Rabbi?
Come on, man. Hey, if this movie kills, can we maybe write Little Rabbi?
No, bro. I'll be available.
Well, I don't know if you will, because this shit's going to blow up.
Yeah, dude. I got it, dude.
Your career is going to go to the next level, and I'm so excited
Thank you,
for
brother.
You, man.
Yeah,
really
man.
Excited
yeah,
for you.
Dude. I think
it's exciting.
All the cards are lined up for you, man. Yeah.
So all of
I
our,
wish I could enjoy it like that. Yeah. I don't have that fucking
celebration No, you're fine, man. You will. But you will once you're normal to. I don't think anybody does, man. There's so much... at stake, and so much of—I mean, I'm sure you can think back to so many great days on the set, right? When you're laughing and you're getting some drinks after, and like enjoying it in the moment.
Totally.
But now, like, it's normal to be like, because this is—I mean, a year ago or how? I mean, this wasn't even happening,
right?
And so now to go from that to this is fucking bananas, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why when high school basketball players go straight to the pros, and then they're fucking so nervous they don't play well or whatever because they're just, all they're thinking about is like, man, I was slinging burgers at Jamba Juice, and they didn't even have burgers. I was just in the back slinging burgers. You know, and now I'm fucking, now I'm guarding Kobe and, you know, and Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. So our listeners could be like, yeah, I followed Mike Young before that movie came out. Where can they follow you? You have
Twitter? I'm at Real Mike Young.
Okay, bam.
Yeah.
Hey, fake Mike Young. Eat a dick. Go fuck yourself.
I've heard from you. You're out, bro. Yeah, at Real Mike Young.
All right.
So follow me there.
And go see Mike. Like, that's the thing, too, man. Like, before we even, like, talked at the store, I would see you. When I was, like, hanging out and doing, like, Vargas Mason's Bringer shows.
Yeah.
And before, like, Bobby took me on the road, I would just, like, and hang out and do the open mics. And I would just stay and watch a lot in the OR. And I saw you, like, almost every time because at the time I was there, you were always going up.
Yeah.
And just became such a fan, man. And, like, some of your, I don't know if you do these jokes anymore, but, man, your joke about, I've, like, quoted it several times about Vegas when you talk about everybody, you meet guys, I'm going to butcher it, but about... guys being on coke and want to start a business with you.
Yeah, everybody on cocaine wants to start a company with you.
That is such a funny line, dude.
Thank
you. then you did like a guy like tweaking out on the strip, like, I mean, I'm not going to make you do it, but...
You'd be good. We should start a company. You'd be a good face man for the company. I'm 47. I'll walk home. I don't give a fuck. Where's my wife? I don't care. Punch me in the stomach. I'm not going to feel it. You want to hear a joke? You're not that guy.
Dude, because that's so real, man. Yeah. I mean,
well, that's the crazy thing is how much I fucking love stand up. And if you like go look at like directors and writers from our past and even like the Woody Allens and the Barry Levinsons and guys, they were all stand-up dudes.
Yeah.
And it's like I always say to like our guys, like if there were like less haters in the stand-up world and we came more together, we'd fucking crush everybody because funny is money.
Yeah.
Like, funny is just money. Like not a lot of people are funny.
Right.
And so, you know. Collaboration is strong, like it should be.
Yeah, but go see you live. Yeah. Your dates are on your website.
Yeah, I'll be in Phoenix this weekend. At Stand Up Live. Yep,
and then such a dope club.
Yeah, then I'm March 23rd. I'm at Nokia with Saget in LA.
Done.
Nokia Live.
Jesus.
Yeah, come check that out.
Absolutely.
But yeah, follow me at Real Mike Young and. Yo, man, this has been fun.
Dude, you
I knew it was going to smooth.
Was it?
I knew
it was fun.
Yeah.
You're one of the good guys in this business, and it was a blast having you on. Go see his movie when it comes out, we'll have you back on to promote. Mike Young, everyone.
Hopefully we'll have the rights to Color Me Bad by that point. Hopefully we'll have Color Me Bad.
Hopefully we will be Color Me Bad, and we'll be on the road. Fuck that.
It's going to happen, buddy. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
If you like listening to comedy... try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.